as I've shared with you, Sanctity of Life weekend, specifically Sanctity of Life Shabbat. Tomorrow is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And yesterday was the March for Life. Happens around the third week of January each year. So what is sanctity? The state or quality of being holy or sacred. Thus, the sanctity of life is a state or quality of life that is holy or sacred. Yeshua conveys to us in John 10:10. And this is the second part of that verse, and normally I don't split verses, but I'm splitting a verse here. I have come so that they may have life, life in its fullest measure. So we're not just talking about life here. We're not talking about living to exist. We're talking about living to thrive. Life in its fullest measure. Life is understood as a basic and unalienable right coming directly from God, not from man. Hopefully you're all aware of this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I can't take credit for writing this.
No.
Nor would I. I have archived the Declaration of Independence in my notes so that when you see it online, you can actually go to it. Self-evident, not needing to be demonstrated or explained. Self-evident, it's obvious, endowed, provided, given, or bequeathed. It's provided, there's no strings attached to it. Unalienable, unable to be taken away from or given away by the possessor. You cannot give your life away, and it cannot be taken away from you. Yeshua laid down his life of his own free will, but that was the purpose he had. So something that is obvious, given, cannot be taken away. In other words, we as Adonai's creation do not have the authority to take that which has been given. There is a reason why the taking of one's life is regarded extremely highly by Adonai. The taking of one's life is punishable by the price of one's own life in Torah. Thus, life is very precious to our Lord, and it is not to be taken lightly. Thus, the one who gave life, in Genesis 2:7, then Adonai God formed a person, Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life so that he became a living being. Is the one who gave us the ability to reproduce life. Everything that Adonai has created that had life, plant, animal, human, all had the ability to reproduce from that which was first given, life. The blessing on the fifth day of creation. God created the great sea creatures and everything living that creeps so that the water swarmed with all kinds of them. And there was every kind of winged bird, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Then we have the blessing on the sixth day. Genesis 1:27. God created humankind in his image. In his image and likeness, he created the male and female. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth." So this blessing, at the end of the day, had to have been to the animals as well, which were created on the sixth day, because it was given to the animals created on the fifth day. Okay, we're going to bless these animals so that they can reproduce, but the animals on the sixth day we're not going to bless. Prove that one out. I'd say you're wrong if you try. How do we know this? We need look no further than the evidence we can see with our very own eyes some 6,000 years later. If God created cows and they weren't able to reproduce, they would have died off a long time ago, or else that would be one very old cow. So he made the earth self-sustaining. He made the vegetation self-sustaining within the environment of the earth he brought forth. He made the animals self-sustaining within the environment of the earth he brought forth. He made us self-sustaining within the environment of the earth he brought forth. We all function within a self-sustaining ecosystem that is the earth. Yet in order to do any of this, the self-evident, endowed, unalienable reality of life has to be present. Without life, the earth would be barren. It would be empty. It is Adonai through his breath, whether it be as he spoke, as he breathed, both originating through the Ruach HaKodesh, that he is the creator of life, that he brought forth life. I shared this on Yom Kippur when I talked about his blood, that the life is in the blood. How did it get there? It got there through his breath. I even conveyed that the Ruach was the one who birthed Messiah, and that his blood is different than ours, but he bled no different than us. Thus, we have been given the ability to bring forth life in order to fill the earth, not under our own authority, but by that which we have been created to do, and thus blessed by the author, the creator of life, to do. Thus, if we have been given the ability to bring forth life, nowhere in Scripture does it say we have the intentional ability to take life. In other words, this is one directional. We see this throughout Torah as it pertains to innocent blood being shed. And this is just one example. If Adonai, and this is Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 8, if Adonai your God expands your territory as he swore to your ancestors that he would, and gives you all the land he promised to give to your ancestors, provided you keep and observe all these mitzvot which I am giving you today, loving Adonai your God and always following his ways, then you are to add three more cities. These are the cities of refuge for yourselves besides these three, so that innocent blood will not be shed in the land Adonai your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus blood guilt be on you. He speaks of innocent blood. There is a difference between murder and killing. A lot of translations use the term killing. Yet we have seen in Scripture where killing is permissible. Yet murder is the intent to take one's life. Malice aforethought, so to speak. Yet today our focus is on the sanctity of life, and not the transgression that occurs when taking life. Unfortunately, abortion is part of our society today and has been for many years, even before Roe v. Wade and the decision made in 1973. It ultimately created one standard for the nation rather than what the Constitution affords under the 10th Amendment as it pertains to states' rights. It's gotten convoluted, it's gotten confusing. Needless to say, that's not what I'm here to talk about. The challenges continue today. The top five leading causes of death in our country as of 2020. Heart disease. 1,902 people a day die from heart disease. Cancer, all various forms, 1,650. Newly added, COVID, 961. And it goes on. I have others on here. Death is part of life in this fallen world we live. Solomon reminds us of just such a reality in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a right time for every intention under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There is an appointed time, a moad, to be born. In order to live, we must first be born, life created within the womb of the woman. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. For you fashioned my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made, wonderfully. Your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo. But in your book, all my days were already written. My days have been shaped before any of them existed. A precious gift that originates from Adonai. And thus we have become stewards of that gift. It is unfortunate that not everyone sees this as a gift. Though we should not lose sight that there is a person confronted with this reality. Whatever their circumstances may be, we must be mindful of the woman. What is their situation? What are their circumstances? I want to share this with you. I found myself pregnant, single and scared, full of shame. Then I went to Abba and saw my baby's heartbeat. I was in awe of this little being. That changed my mind and my heart about life in me. Even though I was unsure of my future, Abba was there with me all the way. I had feared judgment, but I never felt judged by Abba. Only true acceptance and love. Abba helped me to see myself the way Jesus sees me. Now, you can take this, Abba, as Father. Think of it this way. Then I went and saw my father and saw my baby's heartbeat. I was in awe of this little being that changed my mind and my heart about life in me. Even though I was unsure of my future, my Father in heaven was there with me all the way. I had feared judgment, but I never felt judged by my Father in heaven. Only true acceptance and love. Abba helped me to see myself the way my Father's Son sees me. Abba is an organization. Crisis pregnancy. How many women go through this experience every day? I can tell you the number that experience what this woman in our country, but I can't tell you the number that experience what this woman has gone through in our country, but I can tell you that 2,537 women decided differently. It's over 900,000 every year. Remember the list I gave you, causes of death? That would be number one. What I can tell you is that in southern Maine, and in relation to ABBA, the Crisis Pregnancy Center, 57 women chose, as did the woman of the testimony that I had just shared with you. That is, 57 women chose life for their child that Abba is aware of. They were visited by 523 clients in 2021. So of the births that they know of, that's 11%. Keeping in mind, there is an unknown factor. Some people don't report back. They may have visited once. Who knows what happened after that? As a congregation, we focus on our community. We cannot change the world, nor do we have the resources to do where we could. Yet I continually emphasize that we are a congregation of communities, not a congregation within a community. The majority of you travel to attend this congregation, thus you reside in a community we don't, and thus as a representative of your community in the congregation. When we pray, you are an intermediary for your community, just as Moses was an intermediary for the nation to Adonai. The harsh reality is that this struggle among women continues today. As communities struggle with the ongoing impact of coronavirus and widespread economic shutdowns, Planned Parenthood continues to expand its life-ending efforts. And more than 2,000 babies are at risk every single day. The lies of the adversary continue to emanate throughout the world. Here's the harsh reality that I promised you earlier. The body of Messiah is not immune to what is transpiring either. From a recent article, which I have the link for, on Lifeway Research, the 70% of women who've had abortions self-identified as Christians, 27% Catholic, 26% Protestant, 15% non-denominational, 2% Orthodox. 70% identified in some way, shape, or form as being a believer in Messiah. So the body is not immune to this. Do not let us lose sight that the challenge is equally real, if not more so, within the body. Let me remind you of this testimony again, and listen carefully. I found myself pregnant, single, and scared, full of shame. Then I went to Abba and saw my baby's heartbeat, and I was in awe of this little being. That changed my mind and my heart about life in me. Even though I was unsure of my future, Abba was there with me all the way. I had feared judgment, but I never felt judged by Abba, only true acceptance and love. Abba helped me to see myself the way Jesus sees me. Does this not sound like a woman who is a believer? She was single. She found herself pregnant. Was this woman a Christian, part of God's kingdom? Yet what have we shared in the past? That the body of Messiah tends to kill their wounded. She was wounded. She was looking not for approval, but she was looking for understanding. She was looking to see, what do I do? Better she went to Abba than Planned Parenthood. We don't know her circumstances, nor her situation. Yet she was confronted and was considering the abortion as an option. Why would she have gone to Abba other than to weigh her options? It's a crisis pregnancy center. If you are pregnant and you're not married, is that not a crisis? What was her fear? Her fear of being judged, her fear of being alienated. Again, we don't know this woman's circumstances, but we know the outcome and we know the testimony that comes from God. I want to close with a couple of psalms. Psalm 36. This is from David. Crime speaks to the wicked. I perceive this is my heart. Before his eyes there is no fear of God. For the way he sees it, crime makes his life easy. That is until his wrongs are discovered. Then he is hated. His words are wrong and deceitful. He has stopped being wise and doing good. He devises trouble as he lies in bed. So set is he on his own bad way that he doesn't hate evil. On high in the heavens is your grace. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save man and beast, Adonai. How precious, God, is your grace. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the rich bounty of your house, and you have them drink from the stream of your delights. Verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your grace to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Don't let the foot of the proud tread on me or the hands of the wicked drive me away. There they lie fallen, those evildoers, flung down and unable to rise. This woman was shown grace. She was shown the reality of what resided in her womb a couple years ago. During this time, I showed you how far ultrasound has come. That you're not just seeing some grainy image, but you're seeing high definition. You're seeing the head formed. You're seeing fingers. You're seeing a baby's body. Psalm 16:1, again from David. Protect me, God, for you are my refuge. I said to Adonai, you are my Lord. I have nothing good outside of you. The holy people in the land are the ones who are worthy of honor. All my pleasure is in them. Those who run after another god, small g, multiply their sorrows. To such gods, small g, I will not offer drink offerings of blood or take their names on my lips. Adonai, my assigned portion, my cup, you safeguard my share. Pleasant places were measured out for me. I am content with my heritage. I bless Adonai, my counselor. At night, my inmost being instructs me. I always set Adonai before me. With him at my right hand, I can never be moved. So my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, and my body too rests in safety. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You will not let your faithful one see the abyss. Verse 11. You make me know the path of life. In your presence is unbounded joy. In your right hand, eternal delight. So it's not just sufficient for us to know life ourselves, but to know where life resides before it comes into this world. That it is precious. That it is God working in secret. And the tragedy, 70% identify themselves as being believers. We should not convict them of that. But we should come alongside them. Where were we when they were going through their challenge? Fear of being judged. I have to take care of this before anybody knows. Is that not more the mindset than, Lord, help me, where do I go that somebody can help me? We tend to judge first and give grace second. We tend to react first in such a way that, is it any surprise that there is such fear of judgment in the body of Messiah? And I'm simplifying this so much because there are so many possibilities here. Yes, there can be extenuating circumstances, but there are always options as well. The first option should not be to end life, but the first option should be, where can this life be blessed? If it's not with me, who can be blessed by it? Fifty-seven doesn't sound like a large number. Tell that to one of the 57 who might have been on the other side. Tell that to the one woman who will likely endure the reality of what happens after an abortion. It doesn't end when the procedure ends. There are scars that I believe are life scars. I can't speak from experience here. I can only share with what others have shared with me. We are to be a light even to those within the body of Messiah. Yet if someone's first response is, I'm afraid I will be judged, shame on us. Now, we can't be everywhere for everyone. We can most certainly pray that the lies of the adversary are revealed. Because, I want to say this, the thoughts of how things are done, well, let's get this done quickly out of the way, nobody will know. Yet the scars are there, you can't run from them. Yes, you may have concealed it from everyone else, yet you're still suffering. And again, I'm not lost in the irony, a guy speaking about this to a congregation of a majority of women here. But those weren't my words of that testimony. That was a woman. I don't know her name. I got a letter from Abba about Sanctity of Life this weekend, and the few things that I shared that are in italics are from that letter. To know that there is an organization that we support that is on the front line protecting life. They are small like we are. Yet, they continue, even in the light of the challenges of the last 2 years. So, There are envelopes on the table made out to Abba specifically. We will make a donation. I'm not sure what amount that's going to be. A lot of it's going to depend on you guys. But we need to continue supporting them because every decision to have their child is one less tragedy, not of the child itself, but of the woman who experiences the effects, the lifelong, everlasting effects of having an abortion. And again, I can't even fathom to understand what every woman goes through. All I can share is what God says about life, what God says about the womb, what He does in a woman's womb over a 40-week period. What we're starting to understand and see as our technology gets better to see it. This is why the debates are going on. This is why the challenges are so real. So I want you to keep these things in mind, because the battle does not end until the abortions do. So this is a long-term challenge. It's a long-term battle. So if everybody will please rise.